Hello and welcome to another episode of the Tao of June. I should probably go back and count how many episodes I've recorded so far. Shoot, last time I looked, just at my channel on my app, it said that I had like 133 episodes. I might start numbering them. Anyways, who cares, right? I cannot believe I recorded over 100 episodes of this. This is crazy. Like, what? Shoot, some of them are like 30 minutes or an hour long. Like, holy cow. Do I really have that much to say? Like, I really don't. I'm just putting my thoughts out there. I didn't think anybody would listen, really. I mean, the thing is, I actually did think, like, maybe one or two people would listen, and that would be pretty neat. And because I actually did have that, I had that much confidence in myself, at least. I knew that a couple people might listen. You know, just out of curiosity, people that know me, they might listen. But yeah, to see the numbers now, see how many people are listening, it's incredible to me. And welcome, if this is your first episode. I usually don't ramble. No, I do. I was gonna say, I usually don't ramble this much in the beginning. I usually get right into it. But no, I do sometimes. There are episodes where I just started rambling right from the beginning. Right now, I am driving to a place called Cedar Creek WMA, Wildlife Management Area. I'm going there because it's pretty close to my house, about an hour and a half drive. Pretty much every wildlife management area, like public hunting lands, it's about an hour drive from me. So this one's about an hour and a half, a little bit further than the closest one to me. But it looks so beautiful. And they're saying that in order to, you know, find lots of animals, you want to look for habitat diversity, meaning they have a source of water, they have a clearing area where they can walk around, they have cover, which are trees, and, you know, just habitat diversity. You want an area where all of that kind of converges in one area, like it all intersects. And those are the areas where you're going to find the most activity with animals, because one, it's near a place that has covers, like, you know, lots of trees. It also, because animals like cover, they like to hide. Then also an area where there is some clearing and they can come out and feed. And then also they have a water source, a creek, something. And this place looks like it has all of that. It just looks like such a beautiful area on the map. And that's what I've been learning, is that before you go scouting an area, you got to look at the map and look at the topography of the area. Also look at where there's the most habitat diversity in one area, and you want to scout there first. And that's what I'm doing today. I'm going out to go scouting. It's actually still raining. It rained pretty hard here in Georgia. What is it? It is Sunday, the 28th of March, and it rained pretty hard this morning, but only for a couple of hours. And now it's just raining a little bit. And by the time I get there, it's probably gonna not be raining anymore. Just cloudy, maybe some drizzling, you know. And I felt like today is probably gonna be one of the best days to go out there scouting, because the ground is wet. Right, so any animal tracks that I find, they're probably going to be fresh. And on rainy days like this, not many hunters go out. Not, you know, who wants to go out and get wet, especially during the middle of the day when not a lot of hunting is taking place? Because usually people make their catch like in the early morning hours and like right at sunset, and or at dusk, as the sun is setting in the evening, because that's when animals are either waking up and coming to their feeding areas, or if they're nocturnal, they're going back to their, you know, bedding areas, wherever they're nesting or bedding. And so that's where you're usually going to get them, coming in or out of where they're sleeping or eating. And that's why you want to find those areas first. And you want to scout the area, so you know where those areas are, you know where they're going to be, and then you put yourself there, and you hide, and you set up, and you hide, and wait for them to come, and that's when you get them. you're outsmarting the animal, basically. And it's really hard to do because these animals, man, it's their instinct. I mean, this is what they do every single day. It's in their blood, literally, to avoid predators and hunters. And so it's really tough. We're going to get outsmarted by the animals maybe 8 or 9 times out of 10. But that's the thing. You only need to be successful once, right? In order to get a good harvest for that season. And you know, the thing is, I haven't even done anything yet. I just taken my hunter safety certification, the hunter safety course, and got my license recently, all this month, in March of 2021. And I went out to scouting one time, this place called Broad River WMA, and that place is only about an hour from my house, and it's only 440 acres. That means that, you know, I could hike that twice, you know, in a day and not rush. And I felt like a 440 acre small piece of land, I mean, it's not small, but compared to the other wildlife management areas, I mean, they're like thousands of acres. Some of them are like 20, 30,000 acres large. It's a lot of ground to cover. And you can get lost in there. I got lost at the Broad River WMA, the 440 acre one. I couldn't find my car, and I thought for sure I was following the same trail back, and everything looked familiar because I did walk that trail. But not in the morning when I came in, and I walked in a big circle. I got lost, and I started to panic a little bit, but then I just took a deep breath and I told myself, this is only 440 acres. I was thinking, if I just walk in a straight line somewhere, I'll run into that entry trail. And I did. I met another hiker, actually. We talked for a little bit. Made friends. I got his number, actually. And that's the thing. I thought that, I don't know, I didn't really know what to expect, but I didn't expect hunters to be that friendly, man. And I think it's because they're passionate about being outdoors and being a part of nature and learning about nature, you know, observing and just being present, totally present and aware. That's the thing. I've been walking in forests and woods all my life with my dogs, sometimes just by myself, just take a walk in the woods. I love it to clear my head. But that's the thing. I was always off somewhere else in my head. Even when I am just, you know, walking the woods with my dogs in the trails, I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. I do recognize and acknowledge that this is so beautiful. And that is one level of awareness. But I never really took the time to read the forest and try to recognize the trees even. What kind of trees are these? I don't even know. I don't know. I can't tell you the difference between a birchwood or, you know, a timber or a hemlock. I don't know. Red oak. I couldn't tell you. And that's the thing. It's like, wow, all these years I've been walking in the woods, and I never took the time to learn the names of the trees. You know? Almost feels like, how rude, right? It almost feels like inconsiderate, just rude behavior. You know, to go into someone's home, basically. You know, I'm going into the forest, and that's where the trees live. And I'm just walking through, stomping around, making all this noise, right? Just taking some Instagram videos. Hey guys, what's up? Look at all this beauty, you know? Just using the place, using the forest. And I never took the time to learn anyone's names. Wow, what an egotistical, selfish piece of crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, what a piece of shit. I wouldn't enjoy being around anyone that acts like that, you know. And that's the thing, it's like, oh wow, that's how I was acting in the forest my whole life. I never realized that I had a very kind of low level of awareness when I was in the forest. And hunting is teaching me that. By going out and scouting, what I'm doing is I'm looking for signs. I'm looking for tracks or turned over leaves, because the turkeys would scratch and turn over the leaves when they feed and look for bugs and things. So that's the thing, is like I'm looking for tracks. I'm looking for evidence, basically, of what may have happened in this area, and trying to piece together the story that the forest is telling in order to learn where I need to be in order to take a turkey, a tom, a male turkey, down if I had to feed my family. If something were to happen, they say that an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, an EMP set off by the Chinese government could knock out our power source in California or the Hoover Dam out west. And they were saying that the way that our power grid, we're on a grid basically, and the way it's set up, all they got to do is knock out one part of the grid out west, and almost like dominoes, boom, 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 a rolling effect, it would knock out our electricity in the entire continent, United States. Maybe, I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know if we're connected, if Canada and Mexico are on our grid. I don't think so. So it would basically be us, the U.S., out of electricity. And they said it could take months or even years to get everything back up and running. We just saw recently what a couple of weeks might do without electricity. People died over in Texas. There's a snowstorm recently, and it knocked out the electricity power for a lot of people out there. And the crazy thing is, what can you do, right? I mean, and people just froze to death in their homes, and they starved, you know, like, that's just a couple of weeks. Think about what a couple of months would do. You know, I just feel like I need to get out there. I need to at least know that I can take care of myself and my family if shit hits the fan. If things go down and I'm in a situation where I have to fend for myself and I have to take care of myself and learn how to survive primitively without power, without electricity, without all of these modern luxuries and comforts that we have now, air conditioning, refrigeration, you know, electricity, just the, you know, what if all of that just goes away instantly with no warning, no time to prepare? I think that a lot of people will be in a lot of trouble. Not that I wouldn't either. I mean, I'd be in trouble too. But at least now I know how to shoot a bow and arrow. I can aim at something, and I can, you know, usually hit it or get pretty close. And I'm getting better each time I go out there and practice. I'm getting better and better. A couple years deep into this, you know? And so now that I'm getting more confident with my archery skills, Now I have the confidence to go out there and start hunting. Because, first of all, I don't want to feel like, oh, what if I miss? So I needed to get the archery skills up before I ever even attempted hunting. Now that I'm out there scouting and hunting, I'm learning new skills that I never even knew existed. Like the ability to just sit still and listen. I never thought that that was a skill. I never thought that that was something that was something that you needed to practice at. But when you're out there in the forest and you just sit still. You sit down on a rock somewhere and you just close your eyes and listen to the forest. For me anyways, I was frustrated with how often my mind would go off and wander. Songs would play in my head. Like Christian songs, when I grew up hearing when I was younger. And I'm just like, why is my brain doing this? You know, like, it's so stupid. One of the songs that just kept playing in my head, now that I remember, at the Broad River, was like, shall we gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Anyways, if you ever been to a church and there was a baptism going on, you would have heard that song. I don't know why that song kept playing in my head. And I couldn't get it to stop for some reason. While I was out there scouting, and I'm trying to listen to the forest and listen, and my thoughts just keep going. So at one point, because I kept wanting to check my phone every time a notification went off, and sometimes it would just vibrate because it was going into roam or losing signal, and I would pull my phone out and check it. So finally, I just put it on airplane mode, stuck in my pocket, and I just told myself, I'm not going to check it. I'm not going to check my phone. And once that option was gone, fine. My brain's like, all right, no phone. We're going to play this old church hymnal for you over and over again. I don't know, but it is a skill. Now that I've had so much difficulty trying to just sit still and listen to the forest, I realized this is a skill. This is a skill I need to work on. This is a skill to have. And I'll get better at it each time I go out there and sit still and listen to the forest. What is it telling me? Right? Really listen. Be mindful. Be present. Be aware. Even when I look around now, when I walk in the forest, oh my goodness, I even think about how I'm walking now in the forest. I'm thinking about how much noise I'm making, things that I'm stepping on. I'm looking down, making sure I'm not going to step on a stick and crack it and make too much noise. Like, oh man, sensory overload a little bit. Like, I've never really been so engaged in all my senses before in my life. Because I have to. I'm worried about, not worried, I'm conscientious about spooking off the animals. And they probably already know I'm there. They could probably smell me from 100 yards away. They probably already spotted me. They probably already know I'm there. Because I don't move around the forest like an animal does. I'm not stealthy yet. I don't have that agility and that you know, the movement down. I'm sloppy and I'm, you know, what is that word? When you're prone to accidents, what is that word? Not sloppy. Shoot, I can't think of it now. Why is that? Why do words that I know just elude me sometimes? Oh, man. I'm klutzy. Right, clumsy. That's the word. Okay. That was gonna bug me. I'm clumsy when I'm walking around the forest in the woods, and that's fine. I'm new to this, and that's why I feel excited going out there again. This is my second time going out there to hunt, and who knows? I mean, last time the three hunters that I met were super friendly. They were awesome to talk to, and I kind of get the feeling that most hunters are going to be like that. Now, yeah, some hunters I see on the Facebook pages. Some hunter, you know, some newer hunters, they get upset because they'll ask, you know, hey, is this W, you know, where's a good place to, you know, catch turkey this season? Where are the turkeys at? I can't find them. You know, and a lot of hunters, they won't. And, you know, even if the area is good, they'll be like, hey, stay away from that area. It's no good. And I find it funny because, of course, I mean, if you think about it from the older hunter's point of view, the veteran hunter, seeing this noob, this newbie hunter, this green, you know, he's so green, a hunter coming in these Facebook pages, making all this noise and asking, hey guys, where can I find the turkeys at? You know, I'm having trouble because I don't want to put in the work. I don't actually want to put boots on the ground like you guys did over the years and find your honey pot, you know, your honey hole, you know, and I just want you to tell me where they are so that I can go and hunt them, even though they were, you know, even though it took you a lot of time and a lot of trial and error, and it was probably difficult for you to find those areas. I just want you to give them up to me, you know, divulge that information to me because I'm asking. You know, if I was the older hunter, of course I'd be like, nah, stay away from that area. It's not good. You know, I think it's funny because I don't think that means that hunters are cutthroat or anything. Not like car salesmen. And hunters actually get excited. They congratulate each other. They want you to get a harvest. They want you to get a good catch, but just not where they found, you know, not on their spot, not in their sweet spot that they found, you know, like, because it took a long time. But anyways, yeah, so I don't think that makes hunters cutthroat or anything like that. I actually find it super funny, and I would do the same thing once let's just say that I scout these public lands for a few years. And I finally find some good areas, some good spots to hunt in. And I mark them down, you know, I keep record of them. And some newer hunter asked me, hey, you know, the Cedar Creek WMA, is it a good place? You know, where's some good spots to hunt turkey at? I'd be like, ah, man, nah, I've been there several times. It's no good. Try somewhere else. Because I know that if he's a determined hunter, he's going to put boots on the ground. He's not going to listen to what I'm saying. He's going to go there and look for himself, which is what I'm doing, right? The reason even why I picked Cedar Creek was because a couple of hunters on those Facebook pages, they were like, stay away from Cedar Creek. So here I am going to Cedar Creek WMA, check it out myself. And the thing is, I am scouting for turkey, but I'm also just scouting the area because in the fall is going to be deer season. So while I'm scouting for turkey, I'm also preparing for deer season in the fall, you know? So, and just learning the area. And I'm going to just keep going. Because I didn't really like Broad Creek WMA. I mean, it's beautiful. There's some really beautiful scenery there. But I didn't see many signs. I didn't really see much activity as far as animal activity. Even the birds weren't even chirping that much. So I think maybe it's because it's such a small area. And there's, you know, even if there weren't a lot of hunters, even if you just had a dozen hunters, you know, visiting there each week, still, that's a lot for a small land like that. And I think that's just too much activity, human activity. And I think that all the wildlife has probably, you know, at least just moved right outside that area. Maybe next door to Farmer Dan's land, you know, where you can't hunt them. And that's why I don't want to go back there, at least to hunt. I don't think so. Maybe just to go out and hike, things like that. But I don't even think that, because there's so, if I want to just go out and hike, I'm going to go out and hike a public land that I might hunt. But, you know, that way I can, you know, be productive. I'm not just going out there just hiking on my own. I'd rather walk with my dogs at a state park if I'm going to do that. At least then I'm getting my dogs some exercise. But yeah, I don't know. I like to be productive. I like to do things with my time. That's why even driving in the car, I was thinking hour and a half drive. All right, whatever, right? I can just record a podcast. I don't care, you know, or I can listen to a podcast, or I can listen to an audiobook, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I like to use my time wisely. Well, not all the time, because sometimes, I mean, you can't just keep go, right? So today was my first day off in like 2 weeks. I've been working 7 days a week. Oh, sometimes late nights. So today is my first day off. and I really needed it. Oh my goodness. This morning, I woke up, I went and took a piss, and then I just felt, I couldn't keep my eyes open. I just felt dizzy, even especially after the piss. You know, I don't know, I was something leaving my body, I guess. I just felt lightheaded. My, you know, I could have crashed right there on the toilet. But I just, you know, I went back to my room and just went back in my bed and just crashed again. I was able to just zonk out, and I needed it, that extra few hours. And that's why it's about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I am about, let's see, it says I'll be there 2:20. Yeah, so I'll be there in about an hour. That's the thing, is like I could have woke up earlier and, you know, tried to, but I needed that rest. I needed that time to just recover and recharge my batteries. That's the thing. Jim Rohn says it's very different, resting to renew your reserves and resting to avoid the day. When you're resting to avoid the day and you're not fulfilling your obligations and you're breaking promises and not showing up, not fulfilling your commitments, that's very different than resting to recharge and refuel your batteries, you know, so you have your energy level back up. And I needed it today. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you got to find that balance, right? I mean, it is good to be productive and be active and have that drive. But then sometimes you got to put your car park and just let the engine rest for a little bit, you know, and refuel, recharge. And so, I don't know. I mean, I think that's the thing. You got to find your own formula for your own life, what works for you. Mario Batali, that chef, the famous chef, he said it best in this book called The Best Advice I Ever Got by Katie Couric. She just got a little excerpts, little page or two, little essays, I guess, from all of these famous celebrities, politicians, you know, just you name it. Anyone that you consider to be a success, business moguls, anyone that you consider to be a success, like, she has got them in that book. But one of the best advice that I ever got from that book called Best Advice I Ever Got was Mario Batali saying, that a recipe is just someone's opinion that got written down. And he was saying, you don't have to follow the recipe. And he was saying that make your own recipe, right, for your own life. And he was, what did he say? When cooking up the recipe for your life, don't allow anyone else's opinions, you know, their recipes, to intimidate you or make you feel like you're wrong. And I'm paraphrasing, so I can't remember the quote exactly, but I really liked that when he was saying that you have to make your own recipe for your own life and don't let anyone else's intimidate you or cause you to think that yours is not right. It's your recipe for your life. What works for you, right? And that's why, you know, even the Tao of June, this podcast is called the Tao of June, the Way of June. And if you read the original Tao, the Tao Te Ching, and, you know, back in China, it was written like decades ago. No, centuries ago. Anyways, the original Tao Te Ching says that the Tao that can be named is not the true Tao, right? So the Tao that can be named, labeled, organized into a religion or any organization, that's not the true Tao. It's not the real way. So you can't name it. The true way is unnameable. It's unorganizable, you know? That you can't grasp it. It's ungraspable. So that's why by calling it the Tao of June, the Way of June, basically means it's not the real way. It's just my way that works for me, and obviously it hasn't. And I'm working on it. You know, I'm tweaking the recipe here and there. You know, I'm working on it, because obviously I've failed a couple businesses, big time and went in debt, baby. Got a repos. I got two repossession car repossessions under my belt. just accomplishing things, you know. And I also have a divorce under my belt, baby. Don't matter. So obviously, this recipe has not been working. The recipe I've been using has not been working for me. So I'm tweaking it and I'm working on it. But that's why it's called the Tao of June, baby. Because it's not really the real way. It's just my way that has not been working so far, but it's starting to, because I'm starting to recognize, oh, this recipe tastes like shit. Let me work on this, you know? Let me add a little sugar, a little salt. Let me season this a little bit better, you know? Maybe use better ingredients. But yeah, so anyways, let me stop rambling. You guys get the idea. I hope you're living your own inspired life and coming up with your own recipe for your own life. And please do not let mine intimidate yours or cause you to feel like yours is no good, right? From one struggling chef to another. I honor the light in you that is also in me. Namaste.